The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Good day to Pete Wicks and all of our listeners. You are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio. Pete, talk to me. Tell me how you're doing today.
That was very professional. Good morning. Well, to all of our listeners, you are listening to FUBAR Radio.
Do you know what makes me laugh is that things like that can happen, but then the conversations we have just before that happens are very unprofessional.
Yes.
It's called professionalism because I can just switch it on, you know?
We are what I like to call professional twats.
Cool. I'll roll with it. Take it.
Good. That's why I love you. You are the only person that I know who I could call a twat to and go, thank you.
I quite enjoy it. I think I enjoy an insult. It makes me feel better. When people say nice things, I'm like, oh, God, I don't know how to say that. If you abuse me, yeah.
I'm exactly the same. As you know, I'm exactly the same. If someone abuses me, I love it. If you're too nice to me, I get a bit funny.
So if I call you a little fuckwit, you'd quite enjoy it?
Yes. Okay. In fact,
a little fuckwit, how are you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, actually. Yeah.
I really like your head thing.
You always say it when I wear a headband. Thanks.
I like it. It's because it pulls the hair off of your beautiful face.
Thank you.
Well, that's okay.
I'll take all of that. I just had a massage, so I feel a bit tired.
Oh, but fuck off, you silly bitch.
I was so naughty, you know?
Really? Yeah. Did you have...
Fuck off, you silly bitch. What were you saying last week? Wasn't there a better one? I'm sure it was worse than that. No?
Maybe. Dirty bitch.
Dirty bitch. There we go.
Hey, you dirty bitch.
Oh, dear.
Right, what is our topic this week?
Oh, it's a fucking juice meister. I reckon it's
a little bit... Is it a juice meister?
It's a juice meister. I think we all have it in us. I think you've got a little bit of it in you as well.
Go on.
And actually, it might... Sometimes it's not always a bad thing. It's narcissism.
Oh, I've got a fuckload in me.
Oh,
I'm a narcissistic prick. Our guest is going to be Stina Sanders.
Who's she? Is she a friend of yours?
She is not a friend of mine. Yes, let's say she is a friend of mine, okay. Because that sounds rude saying that she's not. Okay. I don't know.
If she's not yet.
Exactly. But she's going to be talking to us. She's a blogger. She's a psychotherapist and cognitive behavioral therapist.
Nice.
CBT. We're also going to have weird and wonderful dating news and listeners' questions and advice. But before we do that.
So the level's quite high this time, because last week you disappointed me. So it is time for...
What, you sound like one of Mike's birds.
What, in general or like...
Just disappointment. Just disappointment. You disappoint me.
You disappoint me.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
That to me actually in the last week. I was like, I kind of like it.
Who did you disappoint and why?
They listen, so I can't tell you.
Okay. Well, it's time for edutainment.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready for the dating sex book with Pete Wicks? So this week's one is The Snowball. Snowball.
I just don't know whether I continue with my mindset because it's so bad. And then it makes me feel like I'm not a lady anymore.
I don't think it's terrible, terrible, this one. It's a good one. And it's quite popular.
Is it somebody you're dating?
Sorry?
We're dating or is it sex?
No, sex.
No, sex.
Enough of this show to do with dating. We have to throw in a little bit of sex now and then.
Sexy time. Snowball sexy time. Is it, I don't know.
Okay. What colour is snow?
White, depending on where you are.
What colour is cum?
White, but like cloudy white.
Well, make it okay. Easy. White.
Make it easy. White. Okay.
Lovely.
Okay.
Thank you. So, snowball. It's right. When a man comes into a woman's mouth. She pretends to swallow, but then when she goes to kiss him, she spits it into his mouth.
Oh.
So it's like... Oh, okay.
I love that you do an action every time. Okay. Has anyone ever done that to you?
So, Stina Sanders.
Well, I don't know why.
No.
Are you blushing? No, no one's done that to you.
No, okay. To be honest with you, I'm not. I don't really want a mouthful of my own spunk. God, that's getting clipped up.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I'm not overly keen on a mouthful of my own spunk. But each to their own, whatever floats your boat. You know what I mean? Is it something that you have done? Or do you, I mean, you always swallow. We know that you're a heavy swallower.
Where's my water? No, I don't think, well, maybe I've done it a few years ago to, you know, when I was immature and thought sex was so immature. Probably done it, yeah. Probably.
Good. Nice. Good girl. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, CC, the snowball queen.
Thank you.
I was going to say something really inappropriate then, but I am going to actually not do that.
Wow, you're reframing from sharing, oversharing. Fuck, what's that? Have you been doing yoga all weekend or something?
Do you know what? I've had a very chilled... it's Fridays now. I forgot.
It's Friday. You've had a chilled week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, weird and wonderful dating news.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to kick us off or should I kick us off?
I had to think about what the fuck we were doing then. I'm still caught up on the snowball thing. Snowball, I'm thinking about how many times I've done it and who I've done it to. Okay. It's a shame that I can't use names, isn't it?
Oh, it's such a shame, you dirty bitch.
Dirty bitch. So, you ready?
I'm fucking throbbing in my seat.
Well, this one, I don't know how you're going to feel about this one. So, a woman ends up in hospital after holding in her farts from her boyfriend for 2 years. An Irish barista landed herself in hospital because she refused to fart around her boyfriend for 2 years. 19-year-old Cara developed extreme stomach pain and was rushed to hospital last month. She discovered that she had an infection and she would have to have her appendix removed before it burst, which was caused by her reluctance to break wind around her partner. Appendicitis can be caused if pressure builds up in the appendix, so holding in any wind can cause damage, as Cara found out. Her boyfriend Carl was dying with laughter after her efforts to hold it in and left her needing surgery. Fucking hell. The pair always laughed around after each other. The pair did always laughed around each other. So they could see the funny side of the situation. Cara has vowed just to let it out from now on, admitting she had no idea how dangerous holding gas in could be. Pete, how do you feel about ladies passing wind in front of you?
I don't like anyone doing it in front of me, if I'm honest with you. I just don't like it. But that's that goes with mates, that goes with whoever. So I'm not, and I don't do it either.
So,
I don't think it's worth going to surgery for. I mean, surely there are ways that she could relieve herself. I mean, listen, by that, I mean, we all do it. Like, it's the same as we all have a shit. But I don't really want to think about anyone having a shit. So I don't want to know someone's going to have a shit. I don't really want to know someone's going to drop their arsehole in front of me. So, but I do appreciate that we all do it. Sometimes things slip out and this is what, but I do think you can make an effort to fuck off and drop your arsehole somewhere and not do it right by me.
So you're like watching telly and you've met the woman of your dreams, right? Which you tell us you meet every week anyway. So you've met someone else that you've fallen in love with and then she's very gassy. Okay. She is a gassy bird. She doesn't quite let on the first few dates. And by this point, you're more in love than you already were when you first saw her. And then you discover that she's gassy. And she said, listen, I will have appendicitis if I don't let out my flatulence. Are you okay with this? How would you feel?
I'd be absolutely fine. But like, you know, the toilet, it's just there.
So every time she farted, she'd have to leave the room.
I do.
But mate, imagine she was farting every 3 minutes.
Well, then that's a problem she needs to sort anyway.
I love playing this game with you.
The point is, no, we all do it and I completely get it and it's fun. What I don't want is a bird to sit there, lift a leg and go pull my finger and then fucking drop her arsehole.
No.
Not my I don't find it. I don't do it. Don't think. Do you know what I mean? I think you can make an effort to just maybe just do it away. Go and make a cup of tea and just drop it in the kitchen. All right. And then come back.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That sort of thing. I just don't think it's, but I don't think someone should fucking, you know, go and have surgery for it. I mean, it's not that fucking deep. I just think.
No, yeah. I always think this is an interesting one because I feel highly. I mean,
how long was she holding that for?
Well, obviously it's over time, isn't it? But you'd think after 2 years you'd be comfortable enough with somebody. But if you're in that routine of not doing it, you don't want to just suddenly start going.
Yeah, and listen, I'm completely fair. Like, I know everyone's going to go, we'll fucking do it and make me sound like a complete fucking prick. But I don't. And I just
agree with you. It doesn't make you sound like a prick because I think it's quite gross. If a guy does it, I'm like, oh, God, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I just don't think you need to do it around people. I think there's plenty of ways where you can have a little moment yourself.
Also, maybe just change your diet. Maybe it's down to diet.
Yeah, because my dog, similarly, I don't know if she's eating the same food as my dogs, but they fucking stink and they don't get shit. And it angers me. I don't understand why they can't take themselves out to the garden. They'll just
That's
happily...
That's a Frenchy thing.
Oh, it's a fucking horrendous.
They fucking stink, don't they? I don't know why they have such bad gas.
Oh, fuck me. Peggy's not that bad, but Eric, Jesus, fuck me. It's like, honestly, his arsehole could choke a donkey. So it is violent. Violent.
Trust me, I'm fully experienced with Frenchy farts levels.
But do you know the worst part of it is obviously because I'm so used to it, I barely notice, but it's when people come to mine and they go, oh, is that a fucking dog? And then people are gagging and I think, oh, yeah. God, yeah, it's quite bad that, isn't it?
It's quite great, yeah.
You're anyway.
Probably it's probably worse than what you actually think.
So, Cara, I know you haven't asked for advice, Cara. I'm going to give it to you. So in future, don't cause yourself surgery. No, drop your arsehole. It's fine. Drop your arsehole. Absolutely fine. Just maybe do it in another room away from someone. No one.
Why change your diet? I reckon it's down to diet. Because we all know when we eat bad foods that sometimes it can make you a little bit more flatulent than others. So maybe she needs to look at her diet. Right. You should be farting after every meal. That's for sure.
You should be.
Shouldn't be.
Oh, you shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't cause you to have gas after every meal. Otherwise, it's your body trying to release toxins, right? So it's like releasing something that's like, oh, I don't want that in my body.
So you've got two bits of advice there. One from a guy that just doesn't like it and one from an actual nutritionist.
You're welcome.
There you go. Cara. Actual real sound advice that she's got qualifications in.
Thank you.
So
anybody want to, I need some more clients. Anybody want to join my coaching?
Yeah. If you are having a gas problem, then,
come
to CC.
I can sort you out with your flatulence.
Yeah. You should put that in your bio.
Do you know what? Fuck being CC online coaching, CC the flatulence, can't even say the word now, flatulence coach.
I think it sounds better. It's more catchy if we do, like we can have a theme tune. If you call yourself CC the gas buster.
Yeah, or CC Farty McQueen. No, it's too much. Do you know why I said that? It's because I think I told you about the lady, the massager went and she farted when I was having a massage. It's part of her thing. She burps and farts and clucks like a chicken. So she does your back. Yeah, when she's getting out bad bits, she farts. She actually tells you before she goes in.
Can we start this again? Because you've never told me this.
Pretty sure I have. No, I've not told you about the farty lady.
How drunk was I when you told me you went for a massage where someone burps, farts and clucks like a chicken? I think I'd remember it. I'm telling you now, I'd remember it.
I think that it was when I was talking about Bali and you were very upset about me being here. So you basically
switched off.
Yeah. Right. So yes, I had a massage. She's actually a chiropractor and she says, I might make noises before. She tells you before you lay down. And I'm like, no problems. And yeah, she, to release the bad energy, she farts, burps and clucks like a chicken. It's fucking foul. If I hadn't known that beforehand by someone else. Excuse me?
Clucks like a chicken. It's fucking foul.
Oh, is that one of your dad jokes? Or did I just tell a dad joke and you clicked
on? You just did it.
Thank you. I must be more funny than I realised.
Hilarious. So, next up.
We're going to get fired. Yeah, look, producers popped in. Guys, can you hurry the fuck up and skip to the next story?
Right. So, next story. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You've just read the first line, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I've got it. Look.
Oh, I thought that's why you were just...
I don't even know what's going on.
I thought that's why you just made that little squeak.
Telling us to hurry the fuck up.
Okay. Georgia, we're going. We're going. I'll do it really quick. Woman who caught boyfriend of 2 years cheating injected chili oil into his condom.
Oh, yes, she did.
So, woman who called boyfriend of 2 years cheating injected chili oil into his condoms. Oh. Augusta, 29, realised that her boyfriend of 2 years was secretly dating her friend at the same time. After
what a
unearthing,
fucking asshole.
After unearthing some flirty messages between the two, she had her suspicions that he was cheating when she found condoms in his car. But he said he had them before they'd met and never got round to throwing them away. The heartbroken business owner decided that revenge was a dish best served hot. Using a syringe, she injected her cheating beau's condoms with extra spicy habanero oil in an attempt to get him back for his betrayal. Later that week, he came home holding his groin and told her that he'd been at the gym and had used a shower gel that had irritated his penis. Augusta played along and told him to lie down while she got ice. Having some spicy ice in the freezer that she used in spicy cocktails, she wrapped them in a towel to help him cool off. After a while, he started screaming and said the ice was making it worse. She couldn't stop laughing, so he eventually caught on and asked what she'd done. After admitting her spicy revenge, he refused. He confessed to the affair and apologised for his behaviour.
Okay, there's so many levels to this. So, number one, there is a lot of fucking angry women around.
Why not
just leave the fucking man rather than stay in it and try and stitch someone up and get one over? Karma always wins. Karma will do what needs to do. Number two, does she realise by injecting his condoms, she is now allowing his sperm to leave the condom and impregnate the woman, her friend who he's cheating on? What the fuck?
What the fuck, yes.
What the fuck? There's fucking... That now you're playing with babies.
Exactly, because him and her friend could give birth to a chili.
They could, yeah.
And she wouldn't be happy then, would she?
Now that would be weird and wonderful dating news.
Exactly, she'd be the stepmum to a Scotch bonnet. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's a weird... You are,
it's
right.
Fucking weird.
There's lots
but
of angry women.
Stop being so angry. Fuck me. If someone's cheating on you, get some fucking self-worth and leave.
I agree with you completely. Two things for this as well. Obviously, boyfriend cheating, terrible. Worse than that, friend.
Oh, yeah. I was going to use the C word then. Asshole. Cunt.
Yeah, friend. Cunt.
Okay. Use that word. I'm not sure if we're allowed.
I don't think we are, so cunt.
Okay.
Go on, say it.
Cunt.
Cunt. How long do you think we can do that before Georgia sends a message?
before I said I could keep going, but Georgia, yeah, I understand. We have a guest as well.
So, friends, terrible. Man, terrible. Lady, angry and a little bit silly.
Ridiculous. But that it is weird and wonderful.
It is weird and wonderful.
Fitting.
It is fitting. It is fitting. Yeah. You're right. Yes. So you are listening to The Dating Show on Fubar Radio. That is weird and wonderful dating news and also the dating sex book from me. We are now going to move on to our topic.
So do you know what the definition of narcissist is?
It's when you have a, I don't know how to define that, over-the-top interest or being self-indulgent about you and being very selfish and your physical appearance and all that sort of stuff, I imagine.
You're very bang on. I'm going to read it to you. So it's actually classed as a mental condition. So narcissistic personality disorder is a mental condition in which people have an inflated sense of importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and a lack of empathy for others. Narcissistic personality disorder involves a pattern of self-centered, arrogant thinking and behavior, and a lack of empathy and consideration for other people. It just sounds awful, doesn't it? It sounds really bad. But I'm not going to lie. There's definitely been moments in my life that I've been a narcissist.
Others often describe it as cocky, manipulative, selfish, patronising and demanding. So out of all of those delightful descriptive words that we've just used, how many of those do you think you are guilty? If I'm honest, I can be self-centred.
All of them. I think I've done, definitely.
Lack of empathy and consideration, I don't really see You
I'm talking
like
about back in the day. Like, I'm not saying I'm a fucking saint now, but I definitely tick these boxes. But the word narcissist is something that's become one of those fucking fashion words. As like in the last few years, everyone's like, oh, he's a narcissist. It's always a he. Like, women can be narcissists too. We can all be fucking selfish. We can all put ourselves first, and we can all be, God, now we've used that C word. It really wants to just come out my mouth a lot. Telling you.
That's all right. Let's clown. We'll say clown.
Oh, so not strong, is it?
It's just,
you know,
not...
when some people, you're like, there's no other word for you. You're just a fucking cunt. There's no other fitting word.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
I fucking love you, and I cannot wait to see you. I'm just saying.
I'm so excited to see you.
You're my cunt.
Hey, you're my cunt.
You're my cunt.
Hey, you dirty cunt.
You fucking dirty cunt. Right. Where were we? Narcissist. Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Where are you at on your narcissistic level now? So 10's an absolute... 10's an absolute cunt. And 0 is like, you know, like baby.
They're like kids.
Yeah, I know.
It's like our parents aren't here. So we're like, oh, we can say bad words.
Honestly. We grow up together.
I think when I was younger, 100% very narcissistic. For me, I think if I had to pick out why I would say that I am that way, is that I have been very selfish, very self-centered, and have probably been quite manipulative. They would be the things that make me narcissistic, I think. Mm-hmm. But some of it, I don't really think I've had a lot of, but I think we've all got tendencies that make us narcissistic. Like you said, we've all got different parts. And I do think you're right that needs become like a bit of a buzzword, doesn't it? So every time someone does anything that might be a bit
he's a narcissist,
or fucking, do you know what I mean? It's a bit over the top. But on my levels, I would probably say I'm a solid. I would say I'm a midway. I've still got.
Now.
Yeah, I would say I've got better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But there are still loads of things that sometimes you don't realise you're being narcissistic. And I think
100%,
that's,
yeah,
and I think that's probably one of the things as well. I don't think a narcissist knows they're not being narcissistic, because
that would make them really fucking evil, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because they're so so selfish in their thinking, everything else. They just assume that they're fucking great. Mm. So when you get caught, they're like, well, what a load of fucking bollocks that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I'm great. So like the world revolves around me. So I don't know what you're, yeah.
So actually I'm probably a 10. Thinking about it.
I think it's, for me, it's down to when someone pushes my buttons. Like, you know, on a normal daily scale, I'd like to think I'm not a narcissist, right? At all. But if someone pushes my buttons, in fact, I think I probably choose to be a narcissist, because I think I'm now pissed off. It doesn't happen often, and only certain people can trigger that for me, like get me to that point of, oh, it's horrible, but that like really angry stage. And usually, actually, I'm going to just say this one, it's usually a narcissist that can get me to a narcissistic level.
Behavior breeds behavior.
Yeah.
I will.
Do you know,
just...
I learned manipulation at a really young age. I was doing it like at school. I was a little shit. I was doing it with teachers.
Do you manipulate me?
No, I don't think I need to.
No, you don't.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I tell you to fucking jump, and you're like, how high?
Yeah. So do you think narcissists intend to be manipulative? I mean, like you just said, it's an actual disorder, isn't it? So is it their fault? Is it?
I think, I mean, I look, again, I can only go based on my limited amount of experience for myself and other people. But when you're around narcissistic people, you do tend to act that way more. So if I'm around a bunch of really nice yogis, I'm not going to be that way. If I'm...
Whoa. What in the dick fuck is a yogi?
Come on, Peter. A yogi?
No idea what that is.
A yoga person. It's just like a yogi.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, come on, Pete. That's not even me being wanky. That is not me even being Bali. That's just very normal. I was using the word yogi ages ago, like 5 years ago. All right, what do you want me to describe myself? How would you like me to describe yogis then? People who go to yoga...
Yeah.
you know what? We've been saved by the bell before you rip me to shreds. Dina's here. Should we just introduce her and let her explain what a narcissist is?
I need a little minute. So if you could just introduce her, I need it because I feel quite violent. Sorry, but what a cunt.
What a fucking cunt.
Yeah, let's never use the word yogi again.
yogi. Okay, which is so much easier to say that. What do you want me to say? Oh, a bunch of people that go to yoga. Would you rather me say that?
Perfect.
So, okay, fine. For you, I'll do it.
No, you say what you like. That word just makes me want to punch myself in the head repeatedly.
So, I think you more so want to punch me.
You are correct, but I didn't want to say that on the airwaves.
Oh yeah, should we cut it out?
Yeah, because people then go, God, yeah.
Can't deal with the word yogi.
Oh God, can't deal with the word yogis, and he's threatened to punch her. What an arsehole.
Should we introduce our guest? Let's do that so that we can, because I feel like we're going down a very deep, dark hole right now. Yes. Talking about violence, cunts, and
exactly. Who doesn't love a deep, dark hole?
So Stina is a psychotherapist. She's a cognitive behavioral therapist. She's a blogger. And she previously had her own dream relationship turn sour after her partner became abusive towards her. So I'm going to guess she's going to talk about, that's why she knows a lot about narcissism. So let's get Stina on and hear what she thinks about narcissists.
Hi guys.
Hello, how are you? How is your morning going?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited.
That'll change fairly fucking quickly.
give us 30 seconds. You absolutely hate us.
Right, so we've just done like a little intro into you, but why don't you tell us exactly what you do? Fucking go for it,
babe. Tell us a bit about you. Can you
tell us about yourself? This sounds like speed dating now. Tell us about yourself.
So I'm 31 and I'm from London. I'm a psychotherapist and I specialise mainly in relationships and narcissistic abuse recovery. That's kind of my bread and butter. But obviously, when it comes to psychotherapy, it's all mental health related and that stuff. So I've been doing this for a few years now and I absolutely love it. So that's me. And I love dogs, like you do, Pete, as well. I'm trying to think what else about myself.
That was a very good intro.
Thank you. Like, put me on the spot. I'm like, oh God, I'm one usually asking the questions.
Oh, no. We like to ask the questions because we don't like to give too much away. So how did you get into that then? Tell us your story now.
So I've always had a love and a passion for psychology. It's always been my thing. And when I was a lot younger, I struggled with anxiety. I had an eating disorder and I went to therapy and it changed my life. And I just fell in love with the whole process. And I thought, this is definitely my calling. But as life is life, things got in the way. I went down a completely different route. I actually went into modeling and TV presenting, just a completely different route entirely. And then a few years later, a lot later, I was actually in an abusive relationship and it was horrendous. I was the worst time of my life. And after I broke free from that, I went back to therapy and it kind of just, not only did I sort of realize I lost myself and I got my identity back, I realized, oh my God, my love for therapy, this is what I need to do. So I just went straight into studying it and here I am.
So why this like specialism in the area of narcissism? Because you've got a book as well, right?
So Not the One, A Woman's Guide to Identify Red Flags. I just find narcissistic personality disorder is a mental health condition. It's a disorder. So for me, I find it's based, I find all mental health conditions fascinating and interesting. And I think because obviously I specialize in abuse recovery, I've got to arm myself with tools and information and knowledge around this type of disorder, which often not all toxic and abusive people are narcissistic, but quite a lot of narcissistic people or people with narcissistic tendencies, should I say, can be very abusive. So that's kind of why I went down that route and studied it. So that's why.
And because we were just talking about it, like trying to see, like work out, is it their fault? So say, like, I'm sure I have narcissistic tendencies. I'm sure 10 years ago I was an absolute arsehole.
I have fucking loads.
we've decided we have a lot going on. But I'd like to think that at times we don't know that we're acting in that way. So can you make us feel better about ourselves, basically, is what I'm saying.
So I'm not going to make you feel better, because we all have, you're absolutely right, we all have narcissistic tendencies. And actually, narcissism is on a spectrum. So whether you fall right down the end of being totally abusive and manipulate people day in, day out, or whether you take selfies and can act a little bit selfish every now and again. So we all fall somewhere on that line. But again, is it their fault? Well, people... There's not enough information, really. Some people believe you are born narcissistic. Some people believe it's your family trauma. But ultimately, we're all adults. We should all take accountability for our behavior. So whether or not you want to feel sorry for someone that has narcissistic tendencies, that's obviously up to you. But essentially, I'll always say, you know, we are adults. And if you're not looking within yourself and questioning, maybe I should change my behavior, you know, that's a good start.
Would you say on this spectrum, if you're down the lower end, where you love a selfie, would you say that it kind of overlaps a little bit with self-love and having a little bit of selfishness to take time out and do things for you and all that sort of stuff? Can that be misconstrued as being narcissistic?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I think we all need to have that kind of little bit of self-love and a little bit of selfishness and a little bit of looking after yourself. And actually, if that's partly, on the spectrum for narcissism, then people will then think, oh, fuck me, I don't want to do that sort of shit, because people might say I'm narcissistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love a selfie, and I think it's our
it's because you have a delightful face, babe. That's why.
Thank you, darling. But I was having this exact conversation with my dad, who's nearing 70, and he's like, oh, your generation, you're so narcissistic. But this is just what we do. But the question that I would probably put back to you is, okay, you take a selfie and you look great and you're really proud of that. But what do you usually do with that selfie? You'll post it. Well, why are you posting it? Because you want the validation. So, you know...
That goes back to lack of self-love, no?
A little bit, I guess you could say so. Why are you seeking that validation? So I personally take all the selfies in the world, go love yourself. And if you want a like and a comment, do it. But I think sometimes we need to be aware that, is this for me? Or is this because I want other people to approve me?
Like it. Did an interview, I think, on This Morning. We spoke about the narcissistic abuse cycle.
Did, yeah. Yes.
Give us the cycle.
So narcissists tend to have a pattern when it comes to their abuse and dating.
So they gradually become more of an arsehole as it goes along. Is that what we're saying?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, so you don't start off a complete prick. You just gradually become one. No. Start off lovely, then become a complete prick.
Start off great and it goes down. But if you think about it, this is how you manipulate somebody. You know, you don't just walk in and be a complete arsehole, and that's not how you manipulate somebody. So
what 34 years for me.
So what tends to happen is it starts with the idolization stage. So this is when the narcissist will work their hardest to manipulate you into falling in love with them. So that includes the love bombing, right, the gift giving, the compliments. You feel you're on a pedestal. You feel like you've just met your soulmate. You're falling in love. They lure you into a false sense of security. And before you know it, you're not going anywhere.
So selling the dream.
Selling the dream. And then once they know they've got you and you're not going anywhere, that's when you move to the second stage, which is the devalue stage. Now, this is the stage where the abuse can start to happen. So that can be emotional, verbal, physical. So the belittling, the bullying, the harassment starts. And often or not, victims of abuse won't leave this stage because they're still holding on to the idolization stage. They're still hoping that their partner is going to miraculously one day wake up and just go back to their loving selves again. So they'll often stay thinking, oh, it's all my fault. The reason why they're doing this to me is because it's me. Mm-hmm. And then the third stage is the discard stage. Now, this can happen within months of knowing the narcissist. It may never happen for some victims of abuse, or it could be years down the line. But essentially, this is when the abuser gets bored of you. So they've used all your supply for their narcissism and they discard you. And usually and often or not, it's because they've found new supply. They found somebody else. And they'll often leave you with little explanation. So you're feeling confused, devastated. You feel like you've just been chewed up and spat out again. And then the final stage doesn't always happen, but it is very common. It's the Hoover stage. And this is when the narcissist comes back to see if they can still manipulate you, to see if they can still lure you in. And ultimately, wow, if you get Hoovered back, the cycle begins again. So you'll go back to idolization, but sooner or later, you'll then go back to devalue stage and then discard stage. And it happens again and again and again.
Wow.
I feel quite sad.
No, why? But hang on. So this, the narcissist is aware of this or they're not?
There are studies that say that they are. They know what works. They know how to manipulate people. You know, it's they learn people. They, for example, Pete's just told me he likes dogs. Well, great. If I wanted to manipulate Pete, I'd say to Pete, you know, I've got a Frenchie. You know,
have you got a Frenchie?
I do have a Frenchie. I'm not manipulating you.
Oh, I just don't know what to believe anymore.
But, you know, they know the right buttons to press. They are very, very clever.
What's your Frenchie's name?
Mr. Mouse. Tragic, I know.
Let's move on from that as quickly as fucking possible, shall we?
Okay, so, right, so...
Do you know what's really sad about that whole cycle is, like you said, you don't know if a narcissist, or like we were saying, does a narcissist know when they're being narcissistic, or do they know what they're doing? You said, well, listen, everyone takes accountability and all that sort of stuff. Unfortunately, I feel like I've done all four of those stages, which makes me feel like an arsehole. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I think sometimes you don't, maybe not so much the devalue one, because I'm not that much of an arsehole, but so I've certainly probably been through them stages, and I don't feel like I always know that I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, when we meet someone that we like, we're always going to put them on a pedestal. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, is that not part... How do you not confuse that with like a honeymoon stage of getting to know someone where everything is exciting and you do think they're the best person in the world, and then actually the further down a relationship or the more you spend time with someone or get to know someone, how do you then not think, well, actually, you're not quite the person for me? Is that not a normal thing that happens when you're dating and you don't find the right one?
Absolutely. It's very, very normal. But I think it's also very important for me to say here is when we are in that loved up stage of, oh my God, they're the one and I'm loving it and I'm really enjoying myself, is to pump the brakes, because you're right. You don't know the person until a lot later down the line. So while we get very ahead of ourselves, and often or not, a lot of victims of abuse will end up moving in with their abuser because they think, oh, I've met my soulmate. When actually they're just taking the time to slow down and watch and analyze and kind of check in with themselves. Am I okay with this? Is that a red flag?
Is that's quite hard for people to do, that wear their heart on their sleeve though, isn't it? Because they, you know, telling someone to slow down is well, it's difficult because a lot of people, yeah, of course it is. Yeah. So, I mean, this is all quite interesting. Have you been narcissistic?
Have I?
Yes.
Ooh, good question.
Would you consider yourself to, you know, if you look at what you've just described a narcissist is, and these stages, do you think you have done that yourself?
I think if you asked any of my exes, they'd be like, yes, she's the narcissist. Probably, you know, we are all guilty of being toxic.
Yes.
At some point in our lives. I can't sit here and preach to the choir and say I'm perfect. I'm not. So yes, probably. So I'll have to ask my exes about that.
Well, funny enough, joining us now. So how do you, if you recognize these behaviors in yourself, you know, if anyone's listening to this and they recognize these behaviors and think, fuck, I do that sometimes, or I do this, and you hadn't maybe thought about it before, how do you stop that?
Therapy. You can go and see a therapist, have a sounding board, talk about your behavior.
What
and
in the fuck's therapy, a sounding board?
Like, you know, like you kind of use a therapist as a sounding board.
So oh, right. Sorry. I thought that was like a term. I thought it was an actual.
No. But you could go to therapy and work on your accountability. So I think if you've taken a step back and gone, okay, where am I perhaps failing in my behavior, or is there a pattern that I've noticed that I do, or you just notice something, some narcissistic tendencies about yourself, then, you know, again, what we would do in therapy is work and talk through your accountability for that behavior to move forward.
So have a bit of self-growth.
Exactly.
Give yourself a little bit of self-love, which is potentially considered to be narcissistic.
No. And it's also about having an understanding and an empathy and compassion for others, which, let's be honest, is difficult for most of us because, again, we're only thinking about our own lives, our tunnel vision most of the time. So sometimes, again, it's just taking that step back and going, okay, how would that make that person feel? What can I do better?
This is an unbelievably interesting subject. I could talk about this for fucking hours.
But I think there's a lot of overlaps, isn't there? Because it's not just what is such, it's huge. It, like you said, self-love, like you've just used narcissistic and self-love in the same sentence. So there's so many, like it's perspective. How do you see it? Like,
And you have what's known as healthy narcissism, which I guess, Pete, goes back to your self-love. You can look at healthy narcissism as I'm going to be successful and I'm going to do what I can to make sure I succeed in my business. And so some people might view that narcissistic. For me, I think that's a survival instinct. You know, we've got to keep moving forward, keep doing our best. But I feel like narcissism, when we're talking in this setting, it's when it's unhealthy. It's the manipulation. It comes with a sinister cost. And it is sinister behaviour.
I suppose it's down to context, isn't it, on a lot of these different things. Right, so we're going to have to move on because we've spoken.
Fascinating as that is.
Yeah, I'm absolutely fascinated by this. How's that? Is that tea or coffee?
It's a coffee.
Okay, how do you take your coffee?
I am boring. I just have milk with no sugar. It's sweet enough.
Nice, like it. We're now going to do the Love the Way You Lie game.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I'm ready for this.
We're excited about this. All right. We normally get some really interesting. Last week's was fucking wild.
Yes.
So you're going to tell us three stories, two of which are true and one of which is a lie.
Yes.
We've got to try and guess which one is the liar. Cece is notoriously very good at this game. She's like Sherlock fucking Holmes.
Okay.
And I am horrendous because everyone lies to me and I believe them.
So are you going to ask me questions to try and catch me out as well?
No, we've got one question on each story at the end.
Okay, perfect. So my first one, I'm going to start with, I matched with a guy on Bumble who happened to be living in my same building. And the reason why I matched with him is because he had two English bulldogs in his profile picture. And obviously, as you know, I've got a Frenchie. So I messaged him and we got chatting, worked out we were in the same building. And he was like, don't suppose you're free today, are you, for a coffee? I said, I am actually. He was like, well, let's go to Battersea Park, which is near to where I live. Let's take the dogs, go get a coffee. So we met, we walked to Battersea Park, we got a coffee and everything was going relatively well. And I was looking at his English bulldog and the bulldog looked odd. It was like dribbling, it was panting and we hadn't walked that far. So I said to the guy, I said, is your dog okay? And he was like, yeah, he's fine. And we walked a bit further and I was like, no, there's something not right about this dog. So I stopped and I said, no, I think we really need to look at this. This is not normal. And with that, the dog literally keeled on its side and died. And we had to resuscitate it mouth to mouth in Battersea Park while a whole crowd surrounded us. And the guy was just completely stunned because his beloved dog has just died on our date. And he just didn't know what to do. He just went into complete freeze mode. And then there's me like resuscitating and mouth to mouth for his dog. And then, we then put the dead dog back in his car, drove to the nearest vet. And then anyway, we passed the dead body, really sad, over to the vet. And then he dropped us home. And as I got out the car, he went, oh, by the way, how many people have you slept with? I was like, sorry? He's like, just out of curiosity, how many? I was going to ask you before the dog died, how many people have you slept with? I was like, have a good day. And I never saw him again.
Wow.
Okay. There's a lot to take in on that one.
So much. Sorry.
Okay. So first one.
Yeah.
First kiss, dead dog. Second one.
Okay. Second one, again, dating app situation. Got chatting, really nice guy. He was like, do you want to go to the cinema tonight? I thought cinema is such like a shit.
Yeah. What are you, 14?
Like, literally, I was like, oh, what? But he wanted to go see Quiet Place 2, you know, the scary film. And I was like, I kind of really want to see that. So I thought, you know what? We'll go to like an early viewing and then we'll go for dinner. So I've never done a cinema day either. So I thought, fuck it, it can't be that bad.
So you went to a matinee.
Yeah, literally. So get to the cinema and his card didn't work at the till to get the tickets. So I was like, oh, don't worry, I'll get these. Like he said, I've got cash, so I'll get the food. I said, yeah, no problem. So he went to the other queue to go get the food. I pay for tickets. As I'm meeting him back at the food till bit, he's like, yeah, it's like, I can't remember how much it was, but it was way too, it was expensive. I mean, cinema food is expensive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he didn't have enough cash. So I was like, don't worry, I'll get the food too. Like, no worries, not a problem at all. Pay for the tickets, pay for the food, whatever. It was expensive. Anyway, go into the cinema. We realize our tickets aren't together. I'm one end and he's the other end of the cinema. So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're not going to be talking anyway. I mean, it's Quiet Place. The film's Quiet Place. There's literally no talking in it anyway. Anyway, watch the film. We met back up at the exits and he was like, right, bye. Nice to have met you. I was like, sorry, what? He's like, yeah, thank you so much. Bye. And he left. So I paid for his ticket and food.
We're only two stories in and I feel like you have had some of the worst dates I have ever fucking heard.
I hope he's true.
Have you got a nice one for fuck's sake?
No, the last one's not good either.
Oh, fuck me. Here we go. Okay. Right, strap yourself in.
So guy I was dating, we were kind of, I think it was still not, yeah, we were 4 months in, so still relatively in the honeymoon stage, and we decided to go to Dubai. And anyway, we're at the airport and we quickly got some food. And I remember eating, it was a Pret salad and it tasted weird. It was falafel. And I was like, ugh, something's not right. Ate it anyway. So I thought, oh, I hate plain food. Just get it in my gob, whatever. And as we're boarding the plane, I'm like, oh, something is not right with my stomach. Like, nuh-uh. Anyway, we get into our seats. He instantly falls asleep. I do not. I go instantly to the bathroom where I christen it from both ends. Like, I am so unwell, like so unwell. So the whole 6 hour or 5 hour journey it is, I am so sick to the point where the air hostesses were like, yeah, like if you need anything on from us, like they were just plying me with sugar. Like they were so great. Anyway, planes comes to land. I go back to my seat and I'm like, I'm still not great. Seatbelt signs have gone on. I'm like, I've got to go. Like, I don't care that this plane is landing. Like, fuck this. So I take off my seatbelt and I run to the front of the plane, like the nearest bathroom, which is at the front of the plane so everyone can see. And air hostesses are shouting at me. So at this point, everyone is looking up to see the commotion. Bearing in mind, by the way, I was wearing a maxi dress with a slit at the back of it.
Easy access.
Literally. Well, this is the problem. I'm at the bathroom trying to open the door, but obviously because we're landing, they've locked the door, so I can't open it. And I'm like, please, like someone's got to open it. Like, I'm going to shit myself and be sick. Like, I don't know which end is coming first. Like, somebody help me. Anyway, it's too late. And I literally shat myself and puked in front of a whole plane of people and my new partner. And yeah, I was the first to be taken off the plane. I was escorted in a wheelchair.
I got to tell you, you get 10 out of 10 for your stories. Fucking
I also just want to point out, and to anyone listening, I do apologise, because that is the second week in a row that one of the dating stories is where someone shit themselves.
Oh, sorry. So,
no, last week we had the same thing, and I didn't think you could top it, but evidently you have. So it's a different sort of mile high, that. Sweet.
Yeah, literally.
So, okay. Questions.
Okay.
So we've got dead dog, tight prick, shit yourself.
Yeah.
Question on number two. Why did you guys still sit separately? Why didn't you just ask people to move?
Full cinema.
Okay. My question for number one is, obviously, if he lived in the same building, had you not seen him before?
Never. I've only seen him once after. but never seen him before.
And oh, I can't ask another question for fuck's sake.
No, you can't. Do you want me to ask for you?
Yeah. If you could just ask her what it was like the next time she saw him.
What was it like the next time you saw him?
Oh, what a great question.
I just completely blanked him. I actually didn't see him in the building.
His dog's dead!
Yeah, but he asked me how many people I'd slept with the same day.
He's in shock, his dog was dead!
No, I just literally was like, I can't do this. I just walked it away.
Okay, and
hard one.
Question for number three.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to ask a question on this.
How long were you dating the guy after?
We actually succeeded 5 years together, which I think is love. I feel like if you've shat yourself in front of someone and they stay, that is true love.
Yeah, or just a lack of other options. So, Cece, do you want to?
Yeah, I'm going to go. The lie is dead dog.
Ooh.
I really hope the lie is dead dog, because I would hate it if a dog had actually died. And if that was actually me, I think I probably would just, I'd be a crying mess. I think the lie is number two.
Which one's number two? The cinema?
The tight guy. Just because...
Tight guy.
Just why would you go to an afternoon performance of the pictures? I mean, that's the most shocking part of this whole thing. You shitting yourself, fine. That seems to be a regular thing for all of our guests. and I don't think you would lie about a dog dying, because you love dogs. So I think it's number two.
Do I reveal?
Yes, go.
The lie is in fact number two. Cinema date.
Cinema.
I got it fucking right. Oh my God, this is fucking fabulous. Hang on.
Was there any truth in that number two?
No.
That was a complete lie.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Fucking hell, you are very good.
You are, honestly, just...
the whole bit when you were like, you know, we're silent because, you know...
Do you know what that is, Cece? It's like, manipulative. It's narcissistic.
Yeah, narcissistic. But there was amazing. Too much detail. Do you not think? Now, this is another thing in psychology. It was too much detail in the story.
So I mean, the dead dog was detailed. That was fucking full on detail.
Oh, that's fucking horrendous.
I feel like I was there. Bassey Park. I can't believe you just casually dropped his dog off, his dead dog, and then was like, how many people have you slept with? Was he in shock? What the fuck? Was he not crying? Was he not upset?
No tears. He was just, you know, when people go into freeze mode. So I was like, I've got to be I've got to go into rescuer mode here. And then, and another thing, the vet was like, do you want us to do an autopsy to discover why the dog died? And he said no, which I thought was...
He's fucking weird.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm not... He's fucking weird. Why are you not crying? Your fucking dog's died.
But also, if your dog if your dog just randomly fucking dropped dead, you'd want to know why.
And it was young. It was like 7 or 8, which is relatively young for English bulldog.
He sounds shifty as fuck. I don't like him.
And then to be like, I was meaning to ask you before the dog died. I was nearly said the dog's name then. Before the, not that that would matter, but anyway, I was going to ask you before the dog died, how many people you slept with? And I was like, who firstly asked that on the first date?
Who asked that first? Oh, we had this, hold on.
I've had it in Bali. Don't worry. I had someone.
Oh, fuck yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah.
Funny enough, we had this conversation with sex therapist a little while ago, a couple of weeks ago. I hate that. I don't think anyone needs to ever ask that question full stop, let alone on the first date. And especially when your dog's dead. Anyway, right. Stina, you've been an absolute sweetheart and a superstar. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Where can everyone find you on Instagram? Yeah.
So you can find me at Stina Sanders. So my name's a bit strange. S-T-I-N-A.
Is your name short for something?
No, it's a Danish name. Stina.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent.
The name of your book again, so we all know, because we're all going to go and buy it.
Yeah, you can get Not the One, A Woman's Guide to Identifying Red Flags on Amazon in paperback and Kindle version.
Oh, thank fabulous. You. Thank fuck you. Me. That was a plug and a half, that one.
I'm going to be reading
fucking
that.
Fucking hell. Right. Have an amazing day. Thank you so much. Guys. Enjoy Somerset. Say hello to your dog. I'm not going to say his name because it's fucking stupid. But have a fabulous day.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, darling. See you later.
Thank you. Bye. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. So that was Stina. We love
Thank
Stina.
Thank you, Stina. I'm going to read your book.
We are. Cece's going to read it to me. Actually, can you do that? Can you read me a book?
I can definitely read
your book. Just call me like, when I'm going to bed and just read to me.
Of course I can.
Oh, I fucking love that. I love
Why you. Have we not done this for the last 3.5 months whilst I've been here? Fuck, that was such a good idea.
That is such a good idea. Aww. If you just read me a little bedtime story in there.
Oh, how cute.
Oh, let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so go check out a book. You are listening to The Dayton Show on FUBAR Radio. We are going to be doing our favourite part of the show now.
Listeners' questions and the stories. I just love this part.
So this week we just have the one story, all right? And it is from Shirley.
Shirley,
a dirty bitch. Sorry, Shirley, if you're not a dirty bitch.
Yeah.
I apologise. But I'd like to think of you as a dirty bitch.
Do you want to read Shirley's story?
Would you like to, or shall I?
Go on, you crack on. Read Shirley.
Okay. I'm going to read. I'll tell you what. I'm going to read you a story.
All right.
I'm going to read you Shirley's story.
Go on then.
My ex introduced his new girlfriend of 5 weeks to our 4-year-old son on a weekend he was having with him. He dropped our son off at mine the next morning without telling me that he was on his way round. When he let himself into the house, he caught me having sex with my new fella. I tried to put a top on, but my arm in the head hole and head in the armhole of my crop top. My boobs were hanging out everywhere. If that wasn't karma for him, then I don't know what is. Well.
Okay.
Shirley, you dirty bitch. I was right.
Yeah, you was right, yeah.
Firstly, I have dated women that have got kids and don't see it as a problem. I think it's absolutely fine. However, if I was dating someone 5 weeks, I wouldn't want to meet their kid.
No,
at
I
that
agree.
Point. No offence to anyone that, you know, that has done that or whatever else. But I just think that's a lot, isn't it? Bringing someone else into your kid's life. So, firstly,
I guess that whole thing of like, if you know, you know. And I definitely, you know, you've gone 3 dates with somebody and think, yeah, you're probably just going to be, you're going to be in that bracket. And then you go on 3 dates with someone and you think, fuck, you could be actually a long time partner. So, if you've got that feeling, I get, you know what? I'm not going to judge on that one because I don't have children yet. And I'm not sure what I would do, actually. But,
the tits in the crop top or hanging out of the crop top. What's quite funny about that is just the awkwardness.
Yes.
Imagine, honey, I'm home. Bought us some. Oh, my God, there's your mum's tits. Hi, mate. What would the guy say?
Fucking awkward.
The new fella when the ex walks in with the son whilst you're rumping mummy.
Sees all sorts. Sees his willy. I'm sure there's a willy off.
Cock off.
Yeah, cock off. You know, who's got the big willy?
Well, I don't know if there'd be a cock off. I mean, it'd be weird if the ex walked in and got his out and went, well.
Well, no, but the ex has got the insight of who's got the bigger willy because he's now sin matey boys.
Listen, it's not the size of the boat, it's the motion in the ocean, like every small dick geezer says.
Wow. well, also that he's got insight and you know, how he's shagging his ex bird. And he might be like, oh, what? You're a bit shit.
The awkwardness of that, though, it makes me... That's one of the moments I'd like to be like a fly on the wall.
Oh, I'd love to be. It's fucking awkward for everyone.
The whole struggle to get the clothes back on. Do you know what I mean? New geezer stood there with his cock out. Just stood there with...
It's awful.
Awkwardness. Love that. Shirley, you dirty bitch. Thank you for that story. We love it. Unfortunately, we don't have time for any advice this week. Because we have waffled on for an awful long time. But I love waffling.
I like waffling. And I think we've had actually the subject this week was worth waffling over.
Yes, it was. We loved it. So, we don't have time for anyone else because it's all about us because we're very narcissistic.
Because we are narcissists.
So yes, that's been the dating show. If you want to send us your listeners' questions and stories next week, we will try and give advice. More of them and stop talking as much. But email us at thedatingshow@foobarradio.com. You can also find out all sorts of stuff about the show and little clips and all the good stuff on the home, the HQ, the hub of The Dating Show, which is on Instagram, which is thedating_show. That's it for this week. Thank you so much to Stina, Cece in the new hair that you've done. Not there. Hair. Which, no, you look fucking dreadful. But I love you anyway. What the fuck have you done there?
It's a yogi haircut.
Go away. I'm done.
It was lucky we're at the end. No. He's even took his earphones out. He's gone. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. Love you all. Peace out. And we'll see you next week for some more shitty stories.
I miss you. Love you. Bye.
Oh, he's come back.
I miss you. Love you. Bye.
Bye.